Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the AMAA Masters Radio Blog. My name is Professor Gary Lee, and thank you for letting me come in your home this evening and bring sport karate memories into your home. We have a very special guest tonight, a friend of mine from many years back. Actually, one of my ambassadors.
Why are you getting in on this side? Museum. Oh, you moved that thing?
Someone's talking in the background. You need to be quiet, please. Okay? Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You know, the idea of this show is to be able to teach people about where sport karate came from and to understand the roots and the pioneers and the masters and the legends they helped create sport karate in America. You know, the heart of this show has always been the book. We call it the book, but it's the Who's Who in the Martial Arts. And to find out more about it, you can go to www.who'swhointhemartialarts.com. And it's really exciting because we're in Barnes & Noble. We're on Century's website. We're on Amazon, of course. And it's been an adventure these past 3 years. 2 years the radio show's been on. And the heart, again, as I said, to be able to talk about the different stories in America. But when you really get down to the heart of the Sport Karate Museum, it just comes back down to a black belt, a simple black belt that was worn by a young Korean man from Korea. His name was Jun Ri. At that time, it was just Jun Ri. It wasn't Supreme Grandmaster Jun Ri or Grandmaster Jun Ri, as we all knew him. And we lost him this year, but he came to this country and he landed in San Marcos, Texas. And he met a couple of young men named J. Pat Burleson and Alan Steen. He trained them, and he decided to give Alan Steen a black belt that he had wore from Korea, that he wore for many years. Mr. Steen wore that belt, and after he wore that belt, he passed it on to Mr. Burleson. Mr. Burleson passed it on to Mike Stone. Mike Stone passed it on to Jim Harrison. Jim Harrison passed it on to myself. So the heart of the Sport Karate Museum is that belt that came from Grandmaster Jun Ri and passed it down through the legends of martial arts to the centuries that we've been involved. And the decades, I'm not saying centuries, but decades. We've had sport karate here for 60 years. So thank you for letting us come in your home. Let us talk to you about various things, deliver news to you and special events. Speaking of special events, I have a very special event that's coming up September the 29th, the honoring, the celebration of my dear friend Roger Green, who we lost a couple of weeks ago. Karen Green, who I'm in contact with, is putting together a celebration of life in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And for all the information about what's going on, you can go to Roger Green's Facebook page, and it will give you all the details. It's free. And last time I talked to her, which was a couple of days ago, she has over 300 people coming that love Mr. Green. So if you're in the Tulsa area or if you'd like to get in touch with Karen and find out about how to honor Mr. Roger Green and help celebrate his life, please contact Karen on her Facebook page or go to Roger Green's page, and all the information will be there. Some Gary, other news I'd like to share with you. Yes, who's this?
Mr. Darrell Stewart.
Who's this? Well, Darrell, I'm going to bring you on in just a minute. Okay, buddy?
Okay. No problem.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for being here. Thank you so much. I'll be with you in just a moment. That was Darrell Stewart, everybody, and my friend with the Universal Hall of Fame. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. But before I do, I really got to talk about something else that's very important on my heart. A couple of days ago, a friend of mine named Steve Powell, one of the great kata and fighters from Texas, contacted me and said that our dear friend Ralph Joski has been put into hospice. I didn't really know what that word was. I had to look it up, and it saddens my heart to understand that a great warrior is in this part of his life. So please send strong thoughts, positive impulse, good strong key to my friend Ralph Joski, who was instrumental in bringing Taekwondo forms and Taekwondo legacy to here in Texas. He's actually under Mr. Jeff Smith and under the June Reed lineage. So keep Ralph Joski in your minds and heart. You know, I've got my friend on the line here, and he just kind of said a minute ago, and we'll bring him on. Daryl Stewart, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, Daryl, I'm doing good. I guess you heard about Ralph, right?
Yes, I heard about Ralph, and Ralph's a really good friend of mine, and I've been saying my prayers daily for Ralph. He is such a warrior. He always has been. We grew up doing the martial arts together, and Ralph is just a super great guy, and we're all saying our prayers for Ralph. And that,
well, my memory of Ralph particularly is a few months back, this year, you and I received Ralph Joski's Samurai Award together.
Absolutely.
And that was very special for my journey.
For me. Yeah, me too.
Yes, sir. But to get it together, I treasure that. And so all my positive thoughts, and please, from everybody who's listening, positive thoughts to our friend Ralph Joski. Well, Daryl, you're on here for a reason. We've got a big event coming up this weekend with our dear friend Severo Guerrera and the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame. Tell me a little bit what's going on. I know you got a tournament, and we got a special thing coming from the museum that Mr. Guerrera and yourself, we set up for everybody. I'll go ahead and throw it in before we talk about it. For anybody that comes to the tournament from a school, if you bring 5 tournament competitors that pay an entry fee, we'll let anybody else compete free. So that's pretty cool. So, Daryl, tell me about the event. What's going
school.
On?
Yep.
Yeah, from their school.
From your
it can't
school.
Be from, it can't be from some other school. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But tell me about the event.
From
what's going
school.
On and what's happening?
Okay, it's the 22nd annual event. It's in Houston, Texas, the World Championships, Tai Chi, Karate, Arnis, and Kung Fu. And we got some great people coming in. We got $15 to get in, and it's going to be a great event. We're going to have seminars on Thursday and Friday. Saturday morning, we start the tournament around 9 and 9:30, and then we have the tournament all day long. And then that night, we have the awards banquet and all the inductees for the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame. That they'll be coming from all over. I mean, we always have a great crowd.
I heard a rumor, Daryl. I heard a rumor. Can you back this rumor up, please? I heard a rumor that someone really, really super is doing a seminar at 4 o'clock. Is that true?
I think that's right. Absolutely. I think some kind of samurai guy, Hawaiian born or something like that.
That's just a rumor. But most importantly, I heard a rumor also that night at the banquet, Severo Guerrera and yourself is going to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award. So congratulations.
Really?
I just heard the rumor. I heard a rumor. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard a rumor. So
wow,
but,
that would be
fantastic.
That's
a great event. And I know Severo Guerrero, for people who don't know who he is, he's one of these old-time karate guys that really care. And, you know, I'm an alumni for over 20 years or more, and you've been alumni for many years. So anybody that wants, where's the Marriott at exactly? It's off 45. But
it's on I-45. You fly into Hobby Airport in Houston, Texas, and it's probably not even 6 blocks from the airport. It's right on I-45, the Marriott. It's a great revenue, and we're going to have a wonderful time. I hope everybody can make and plan on being there. The great city of Houston's welcoming you in the great state of Texas. So,
well, I'm going to talk about it a little bit later in the show, but I got while you're on the air before I get you off. I heard another rumor. I heard a rumor that you're the center referee for the Jim Harrison's America's Challenge for the Living Legends. Is that true too?
Well, I heard that rumor too. I did hear that.
Yeah. Well, let me just ask you a question. How do you feel about that new rule? The three-point rule, the blitz rule, the Howard Jackson rule.
The Howard Jackson rule, that's a pretty awesome rule. I just got to get in there and try to break them guys apart before they get too carried away. But the sweep takedown
and
the yell.
Old school, when you got to break them apart, that's kind of old school, isn't it? I mean, I've seen judges now between all the tournaments I've seen since I retired, which was 2004 or whatever. They just say stop, and the fighters just stop. They don't fight anymore. They just stop. I know. I understand that. But that's another.
That doesn't always work.
No. There's always an old school fighter somewhere that competes in the tournament. Anyway, God bless you, Daryl, and I'll see you this weekend. And just a plug, I will be there at 4 o'clock to do my seminar, and we'll have a super museum booth set up. And thank you, Severa Guerrero and Daryl Stewart, for putting this event on and having all of us get together. Thank you so much.
All right. See you later, Gary. Bye-bye.
God bless you, Daryl. Well, guys, that was Daryl Stewart talking about the Universal Hall of Fame. I was just wondering, is Mark Shuey on the air? Mark? Okay, Mark's this is the 3 weeks in a row that I've tried to put Mark Shuey on the air, the Crane Master. And, you know, last week he had a problem with his battery. The week before that, I think he had a wedding. And I don't know what's going on tonight, but we'll plug him again. The Crane Master, Mark Shuey, he will be at the Living Legends. He will be doing the seminar. And he will be giving a beautiful cane to one of the 150 black belt women that will be there. One of them will be lucky to walk out with one of his signature Mark Shuey canes. Hopefully he'll get on the air in a little bit and we'll talk to him. But right now I'd like to bring on my special guest. And my special guest is someone I've known for many years. He's a Shotokan master. Now, I don't use that word lightly. You guys know me. I don't say grandmaster. I don't say master. I say Mr. and Mrs. And if I say the word master, pretty much I understand that someone who's a master karate instructor. And I feel this way about this man. He's not only a master karate instructor in Shotokan Karate, and he studies Kempo, but he's also an ambassador for the Sport Karate Museum. It's my pleasure, my honor, to bring on Master Johnny Hunter onto the radio show, Parts Unknown. Mr. Hunter, are you there, sir?
I'm here. Thank you, sir. Thank you for that. I'm very humble for the introduction there. How are you doing, Professor Lee?
I'm doing fine. May I call you Johnny? Is that cool?
That's cool. That's cool, Professor.
Thank you. I know most people don't call you Johnny, but I feel that I'm close enough to, first of all, if I ask permission, as I always do, and then be able to do it, that means a lot to me. So, Johnny, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Right off the bat, who did you get started with, and what year did you make black belt?
I got started with I've been martial arts since I was 7. You know, my first instructor was my uncle, Uncle Leroy Hunter. He was my primary instructor, and he trained because of I had problems with bullies in school. Then he enrolled me into Percy Mundu, after he could not teach me anymore because of his work schedule. And Mangu is who I grew up pretty much under 20-something years. And I made black belt under Shion Ozawa Sensei is the one who folded me to black belt. I had a test under him in Mallettsville, Texas, when he came here. If you're not familiar with Uzuma Ozawa, he's the direct student of P.T.
No. Let me stop you right there. I'm not only familiar with Sensei, Ozawa Sensei. I'm going to tell you something, a little secret. You know, this year, this is our third year of Kata Wars, which you have to have 100 first places just to be invited. Well, in Las Vegas, I found one of Ozawa's top black belt Kata competitors. His name is Lance Sandova. He's actually won the world championship. He's a JKA animal, and he's coming in from Las Vegas just to perform in Kata Wars. So I'm very familiar with Sensei Ozawa.
Cool. Yeah, his main dojo was located in Las Vegas off Sahara Boulevard. And I actually had the honor to travel with Master Ozawa to Panama, the Republic of Panama. We did a demonstration down there and a seminar. And I was one of the few black belts that he took me with down there. And we did a great demonstration and seminar. I sat in front of Kanazawa down there, Master Daruma, Master Sheehan. So it was a great honor. That was the most... most memorial time of my life. I can never forget that. One of my black belts flew with me down there, and that was nice.
Well, what Don rank are you now?
I own the rank of 10th Don now. Master Don Omisco of the Black Dragon, he promoted me, and his board promoted me up to 10th Dan. And,
I'm very familiar with Don Omisco. Don Omisco is actually my partner. So you're a 10th Don under Don Omisco in the Black Lotus Federation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Now, what Don rank are you in Shotokan?
Now, 8th Don in Shotokan. I got my aid done from the Soka Council with Master Guerrero, actually, back in 2012, when I got promoted to aid done as a Soka in that from Soka Council. That's right, 2012.
Yeah, but when was the last time that you tested under a Shotokan board? And you, that's what I'm asking.
Shotokan board was back in 2000, when Shinazawa tested me last.
Okay, so the last physical test you had was 18 years ago?
Yeah, in the back of the hour, yeah.
Now, I'm ignorant, Johnny. I know you're a little bit of your history, but did you compete too?
I competed. Well, yeah, of course, I competed. In 1988, 1989, I ranked fourth in the state in AOK on national scale. I won like maybe 60 trophies. I only competed like sometimes 6 months and won all them trophies.
So what year did you compete in the AOK?
That was 88 and 89.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then you fought nationally too, you said?
I think I posted on my Facebook. I have the NASCAR deal on a national level, and so it was pretty interesting.
Well, you know, Johnny, I don't mean to be, you know, I don't want to sound offensive. I'm just saying that I don't know everybody. I don't know everybody's career. Everybody thinks I do. I remember a little bit about you competing, but I didn't know in depth. So that's why I'm just asking. Okay, cool. What did you like doing? Did you like kata better or fighting better?
I did all of it. I did kata. I did weapons.
Which one did you like better? Which one did you enjoy better, kata or fighting?
I love all of it. Honestly, I love kata. I'm a foreman. I love my weapons.
Listen, Johnny. This is parts unknown, bro. I put you in a corner. Yes. And I jack slap you. So I'm going to ask you again. I know you do good in both. You love both. But which one did you enjoy the most when you performed in open public competition? Did you enjoy kata the most or did you enjoy fighting the most? That's the question I'm asking, buddy.
No,
brother.
I love kumite. I love kumite.
Man, it took me a lot to get that out of you. Goodness gracious, man. Okay, so you like fighting. Okay, cool, man. What was your favorite technique?
I'm famous for the spinning back fist.
Cool.
I used to catch opponents off guard with that spinning back fist. It's one of, Master Magoo used to pop us with that, you know.
Yeah.
And I found it to be a very formidable weapon, and I use it. And I use it on the streets, you know. I had to actually... Because I grew up in the Fifth Ward. I actually had to use my karate going.
Oh, I know about that. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I want to talk a bit more about technique. Now, what kicks did you like to throw? What was your favorite kick?
The sidekick.
Okay, cool.
Very famous for using the front leg for the sidekick because the opponent don't see it. If they're doing a roundhouse kick, you can cross in and hit on the sidekick from that flying eagle. It works every time.
Yeah. Now, I remember this. You're a nunchuck guy. You like to do nunchucks, correct?
Correct. So you and I did a demonstration.
Yeah, you passed it on. You passed it on to some of your students. Yeah.
Yes.
Who taught you nunchucks, or did you just pick that up on your own?
Well, Master Magoo, actually.
Okay. I was waiting for that because I want to talk about Percy Magoo. For the people who don't know who Percy Magoo is, that's where Mr. Hunter and I, or Johnny and I, have a little history because we were both close to a very, very unique man. Johnny was close to him because he was his instructor. I was close to him because he was the only pretty much Afro-American that allowed me to come to his school and fight bare knuckle. I mean, he was cool. And he also supported all my tournaments back in the early days. What was it like training with the amazing Percy Magoo? I mean, he was a character, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a character. He was a great philosopher. He was a great role model for myself, especially coming from the environment I came from. He was a great innovator. You know, Master Magoo would give us one technique. Let's say you're doing a kempo, if you're doing the five swords, he would give us one technique which helps create 5 of 10 from that one technique. So he got us to thinking outside the box, you know. So it was very interesting. I mean, because he told a variety
and his
of
fighters,
techniques.
I'll tell you something about his fighters, Johnny. His fighters either won or they were disqualified. that's true, man. Those guys he had coming up underneath him, they were some good fighters. I remember. Heck, I fought a lot of them.
Pretty tough bunch, yeah. He trained very hard.
And
he had a school
right there in the his last school he had was down there in a kind of a different part of town. But you grew up in the Fifth Ward. Tell my listeners about what the Fifth Ward was like. It was tough, wasn't it?
Yeah, they called it the Bloody Fifth. That's the nickname it has. Yeah, there's a lot of crime.
Say it again. What was it called?
The Bloody Fifth.
The Bloody Fifth.
The Bloody Fifth.
Wow.
Yes.
Fifth. That's not a good name. No.
No, it's not. It's a very dark place. You know, as a child, I didn't see people get killed. On the way home from school one day, I had to see the lady head cut off in the bushes on Hedrick Crawford. I found the head in the bushes right there.
Oh, it's terrible.
I see things a child should have to see. Yeah. But yeah,
that's
terrible.
Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever used your martial? Well, I probably already know the answer, but I want to know the situation. When did you have to use your martial arts in a situation when you were maybe not a black belt? Did you ever have to use it before you became a black belt?
Many times growing up, you know, bullies. Like I said again, I had to learn because of bullies, and actually I got to defeat the last bully in front of the high school. One time I was on my way home. A gentleman, young man attacked me with a knife, of a Spanish young man, and he attacked me. What I did, I took my belt off, and took the buckle and swung the buckle and hit his hand, knocked the knife out. By the time he said, ouch, I turned around and snapped the buckle and popped him in the head. That's what my nunchucks. Suddenly, if you have a nunchucks, I have my belt, see? So I used the nunchucks, the belt like the nunchucks. That makes sense? I defused that situation real quick. But yeah, I had a lot of situations. A lot of people.
Let me ask you a question. Did you know in Texas, nunchucks are illegal? Did you know that now? Yeah, they're.
Yeah, I've been stopped by police a few times. Police stopped me a few times with my nunchucks, and I told them I was a student, I was an instructor, and they I showed some pictures and something that they go getting back to me. Yeah, they are very much illegal.
Wow. Yeah, that's hairy. That's hairy. Well. You know, the thing about it is, Johnny, our karate is not only self-defense, but it's reality. And the thing about I really enjoy talking to people like yourself is that it's not play karate, you know? I mean, we do tournaments, and we've done tournaments. We've done that. But it's never been play. I've always had a mental attitude that two things. If I fought in a tournament, one, it's cool. I could pay a little money, maybe win a trophy. But I thought I could hit somebody and not worry about going to jail. That was a bad attitude, I think, to some people. But my attitude was I could hit people. And sometimes I get lucky. I'd get to hit people 2 or 3 times, maybe at 4 or 5 fights, depending on what it is. So, you know, that was a different attitude. But in self-defense-wise, if my student was watching me, tell me what you think about this. If my student was watching me fight or watching you fight and I was teaching him, then it would enforce everything I teach him that I could back it up because I was facing a black belt and not someone else. But I've also taught him that a street fighter is the most dangerous person in the world. Do you agree with that?
Right. They're unpredictable. And, you know, you got to use an unpredictable and not in a controlled environment. And so, yeah, I have experienced that. A lot of my students, and honestly, a lot of my students had actually used a karate in real life. I have one student in particular named Mr. Rick. He just made orange belt, was leaving the dojo, riding down the street. Him and his wife, they seen a young man hit two little girls. It was a hit and run. He ran and apprehended the man. The man whipped out a knife. He did a self-defense on white belt number one and beat for number two. And he took the man down, took the knife, and put him in a surfboard technique. They called the police and hog-tied him. He was a hero. This is real life. This is real life. He actually used some techniques, yes. And a lot of my students they have bear witness, and they from Fifth Ward. They had to actually use it more short. So, but we know we didn't go to tournaments just for the winning trophy. We went to test our technique, and we're working on the Jacuzzi. I may have one technique they may be working on. So they go, I don't care who they get in front of them, the Kung Fu, Taekwondo, whatever, if they're working on the Jacuzzi, that's what they're going to work on. If they're working on the back fist, what you work on. So that's what we focus on, master the technique, perfection of the technique. It ain't about winning, so we win fine. It's not, we try to.
Stop, Johnny, let me stop you right there. I love that. I love what you just said because I use that every day. Perfection of technique. I'll say it again. Perfection of technique. We know that nobody's perfect except for God. But we want to be
right.
We want to be perfect. We want to think that we're perfect. We want to act like we're perfect, you know, but we're not perfect. But perfection of technique. You know, I break that down where if you learn a technique, you want to perfect it. And that's a terminology that a lot of people don't use. But that's because you're a master instructor. You use that technique. I picked up on it real quick. So I like that. You say the same thing I would say in teaching. Perfection of technique. So remember that, sir. Absolutely.
Yes.
So listen, I'm going to take a short break, Johnny. And I'm going to come back, and we're going to play the Legends End Game and then kind of talk about where you're at, what your plans are in the future. And but I appreciate you taking time with me. It really means a lot. So stay on the line, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, I'll be right back with Johnny. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm with Johnny Hunter, Master Shotokan instructor, and we're talking about his history in Houston, Texas, and then how he ended up, I believe it's Idaho, Johnny, Idaho, or South Dakota?
I've been North Dakota. Matter of fact, Master Bobby
told me. North Dakota.
Master Bobby told me.
Chicago, I don't know all those states. I'm sorry. Okay,
yeah,
we'll talk about
North
that
Dakota.
When we get back, though, but. How'd you end up there? We'll talk about that. So God bless you. We'll be with you just a minute. Hey, did Mark Shuey get on the line yet? Doggone it, Mark. I'm gonna see you in a month, and I'm gonna kick you in your shin. I wonder what happened to you. Hey, okay. Well, listen. You know, I've had a great segment these past actually month and a half. I think we're going on. And it's dealing with my student, my protege, Mr. Dean Piles, but he's better known as Wolverine. And Wolverine, you know, he says what he means and means what he says. And we've kind of taken that show format and added it to I don't get it. I don't understand segment. And this is what we talk about. Okay, Mark's on the line. Cool. Hold on a minute. Let me see what he's going to do here.
Professor Gary Lee, send me that telephone number for Mark.
Okay, Mark, Dean Piles, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
I'm so sorry. Mark's trying to call in. Jesse Bowen, if you're listening, would you please put Mr. Chewy on the line? If you're listening, Mr. Bowen,
yes, sir,
you got
quite a few calls here. Well, I need a telephone number.
Mark Chewy.
What's his telephone
Mark's
number?
Number
telephone
say?
Number, Professor Gary Lee. He needs to know the telephone number.
Okay, hold on a minute. Let me get it to you. You know, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Guys, I apologize, my listeners, but it's the pleasure of doing live radio. Mark Shuey's number is 775-772-9471. So I just gave Mark Shuey's number to a national audience. So I hope you make some money on this, okay?
I'm trying to talk to you, big guy. I'm on the phone.
There you go. There you go. Mark.
You are hard to get a hold of.
God, there's always someone fussing at me. You guys give me a break, will you? Hey, Dean, will you wait a minute? I'll be with you in just a moment. Okay, Dean?
No problem, sir.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Hey, Mark, I can't believe it, man. It took me 3 shows to get you on the air, and you're still fussing at me. How you doing?
Well, I'm sitting there listening to you yell my name. I don't know what else I can do besides saying I'm here.
But you understand? I've got a producer. I've got a producer,
well,
and everything goes through him first.
I
you understand?
Called 3 times trying
well,
to get
Well, I got a producer. I have nothing to do with it. Once I'm on
okay,
the live, once I'm on the show, Mark, once I'm on the show, Mark, I have no control.
Yeah.
It's done by the producer. So don't fuss at me. I love you. Is that clear? I love you.
Yes, dear. Yes, dear.
Okay, Mark, anyway, how you doing, man? The Cane Master. What's going on?
I'm just having fun being busy and making these custom canes for people. With,
well, you know,
Rob,
we go back a long time, you and I, we go back a long time, way before you became famous. And, you know, the enjoyable thing I've enjoyed about you, Mark, you haven't changed. You're one of those great karate competitors that haven't changed through the years, except you got better with your attitude. Yeah, you still fussing. But listen,
except for tonight,
listen to me. You are a great NASCAR fighter. You were a great NASCAR kata competitor, and you were a pioneer in creative forms with your cane. Now, you make specialized canes for people around the world, and you're not called
Correct.
A cane master for just for a nickname. You're actually a cane master. You do techniques, and you teach people around the world on your internet, on your website, and, of course, the things that you do. So tell me a little bit about what's going on right now with Mark Chewy and the internet site you're doing. And, of course, you're coming September, just a month away, to the Living Legends. You're going to be featured in a seminar. But tell me about what Mark's doing and how we get in touch with you and get a cane.
Well, I'm trying a bunch of new high-tech stuff, which I'm not very techy, but, you know, I have a virtual dojo now, and that goes out to a lot
okay.
of people. And
yeah.
we've got over 200 people signed up right now, and we're having a ball. And I get up there every week and get on new stuff, and then once a week, I go on Facebook and show them a new technique. And it's amazing what you can do now, having a computer at your house and get around to the whole world with these virtual dojos.
You know, I remember back in the early 90s when I got involved with creating Black Belt TV, I was going around to Texas, and, you know, Texas is hardcore, and telling everybody that www. Is the future. And everybody thought it was crazy. And look at it now. Everybody's got a website. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, everybody's
it's super
not
crazy.
Laughing
Especially
now, are they? Yeah.
Kids, they can't talk to
yeah.
each other anymore.
So the website's doing good. So you got people all around the world that get to watch you teach the cane technique, huh? Cool.
Yeah, I'm also selling them around the world. In fact, one of the headmasters in China has 450,000 students has one of my canes on the northwestern
wow.
section. I don't remember the name of his studio, but...
Are you driving the Maserati yet? Are you driving a Maserati yet?
Not quite. I still like Porsche.
Okay, cool. Well, those people from China, they got some money and they love canes. Now, I want to ask you a question because I wrote it down here in my book. I wanted to ask Mark Chewy a personal question. Here it is. Okay, now, we all know if you got a weapon in your hand, it's an extension of your hand. If you got any weapon in your hand, it makes you dangerous. But what makes a person dangerous with a cane master cane for Mark Chewy, if he's trained by Mark Chewy? What makes him dangerous?
Well, pretty much, it's hard to break the sucker, because I use special, real dense hickory wood on most of the canes now. But
right.
I have these little trick things I put on there, like I call some of them... I used to call them shark teeth. Now I call them band holders for the exercise system and also for scratching your back. So when you learn how to use the special back scratcher, you can tear somebody's arm off, or you can cut their ear off, or anything you want to do. They're little soft, you know, cuts into a sharp point. So when you rake it, it really, really hurts. And I've also started a new thing with my first name. It was called a head knocker. It's a crook extension that makes the crook and go out an extra inch and a half. You know, which is like
wow.
a hammer. And
wow.
it's so comfortable to put it on your palm with the horn facing the other direction. In fact, some of the people that have to wear those arm braces with canes, they don't have to wear those anymore because the point of your palm sits right on there, and you don't have to wear a strap anymore. So I'm having fun.
I think it's amazing stuff. What you've done with your vision. Because I do remember, just as far back as the 50th anniversary of the Internationals, and we were side by side next to Mike Stone, and we were next to each other.
Yeah.
And I got to talk to you in depth about the cane and the process. But I remember seeing all the different varieties of canes that you had and how far you've come from the 50th, which has been, what, 6-7 years ago or whatever. you've taken the cane to a different level. Now, I understand, and
well,
you know me, I like
cane
rumors.
Well, 2 years.
Well, I know how long you've been doing it, but I'm talking about how you've innovated and changed the different varieties of it.
I try to invent a new variety every month if I can. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Every month you change your variety?
Every month I
cool.
add something else to it, see how it works. Put the shark teeth on a different side of the shaft. I separate them. I move them closer. See which is more nasty.
Well,
and I'm trying to make everything airport safe
be,
so you go right to the airport.
I understand you're going to be making a special cane for the Sport Karate Museum and presenting it to me in September. Can you give me a teaser what that's going to be like?
I'm going to tell you that it's going to have a special hand-carved head on the horn. I'm debating whether to make it a dragon or an eagle. Do you have any ideas on that?
I want a dragon, and I want to be dipped in poison. So every time I touch somebody, they have a delayed reaction and grow up and delayed technique without death. Okay.
Well, I might as well spoil this for you, but I am going to present you with a beautiful dragon cane. I've already decided to do that, so it's going to be nice.
You're an animal. Now, tell me about your seminar. What are you going to do in September at the seminar that I'm doing for you, or setting up for you?
I never know what I'm going to do at a seminar until I get there.
Man, that's no
what the group likes.
I can't
see what they like,
what
they want,
and
then I go.
Until you get there.
Nope, I
you
don't.
What? Are you
don't even worry about
Mark,
it. There's so much different stuff
Mark,
to do. I can't get
this.
Lost.
Mark,
yes.
For people who are just listening for the first time, you guys got to understand. Mark and I are very good friends. That's why we talk like this. But Mark, do you realize that I'm going to have 150 black belt women there? Oh, yeah.
That's what you're saying.
100.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? And they're from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and 2000. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well,
I think
Mark
it's
going
to be. It's going to be nice to see a lot of the old people that I haven't seen in years, too. I mean, I've been competing since 1970.
There'll be a few there. There'll be a few there. But, you know, for anybody who's interested in the cane, custom-made cane, or just talk about the cane technique, please give a contact with Mark Shuey on Facebook or contact him at what number, Mark?
1-800-422-2263. And I'll design you a cane right with you on the phone. That's what I've been doing lately. A guy's call me. I'll spend a half hour to an hour on the phone and design a special cane just for them and play whatever they want on it. So I'm having fun.
And what's your website, little brother? What's your website?
Well, our website is canemasters.com. CaneMasters. CaneMasters.
Well, let me
plural.
Tell you something. Mark, it took me 3 shows to get you on, but it was worth every bit of it.
Well, I've never been in a phone where I can sit there and hear everything and not be able to talk. But that's okay.
Well,
I'm getting used to it.
I truly love you. You're my friend. You're my fellow warrior. And I can't wait to see you in about a month and a half, little brother, okay?
Well, one more thing. Since I've been listening to your show is doing great. I really think what you're coming up with is great, important. And
you gotta thank Hansi Jesse Bowen. Listen, my producer is the reason why I'm motivated to do this. He's a great coach. He's a great producer, and I don't plug him enough. But I can't take credit. I just talk a lot. That's my
well,
credit. I talk a lot.
You're doing a great job, and you're waking up a lot of people about what happened in the martial arts sports world, and I think
that's
great of you.
That means
good
a lot
job.
To me. It really does. And I'll tell Hansi Bowen too. Thank you so much.
Okay.
God
have
bless you, man.
Show.
I'll see you about a month. Okay?
I'll hang on and listen anyway. Take care.
Okay, bye, God bless bye, you. Mark. Thank you, man. Okay. Hey, now I'm waiting on Mr. Daryl Stewart. Please don't give me a bad time and make me call you. Or you didn't hang up on me, did you? Oh, Daryl? Not Daryl. Dean Piles. Dean Piles. That's who I need. Dean Piles. Where you at?
I'm right here.
Hey. I'm going crazy tonight, aren't I? You can tell I'm getting excited.
Yeah.
I got Kata Wars right around the corner. I just made the book on that Mr. Bowen put out. I'm the blessed Hawaii boy. I'm very, very lucky, so I'm excited. But, you know, this segment's very important to me because even though I do get excited I get eccentric sometimes, and I get very eccentric because I'm very, very much passionate about sport karate and what it's going through, what it's been through, and what is going to happen to it today. And we have a subject tonight. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about judging, tournaments, competitors. But this is a little bit of everything, and this is a subject that we call Samurai Spirit. And I thought about this, and this is how I'm going to present it to the people who don't understand the Samurai Spirit. Imagine having a double-sided sword. And a double-sided sword, one side is dull, okay? And the other side is so sharp, it would cut glass, if glass could be cut. So you got two opposites. The dull side would symbolize patience and boredom and sitting and listening and trying to understand what people are saying and trying to comprehend what that person is trying to teach you and sitting there and just listening and knowing that it's hard. The other side, which is very sharp, symbolizes the spontaneous reaction that you have when you learn martial arts and how to react quickly, suddenly, and not have to think about it. But the ultimate is the tip of the sword, because the tip of the sword is the combination of the dull and the sharpness. And even though both of them are very powerful, together they form an entity that's very, 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 very important. And that's the tip. And the tip would symbolize, say, look at your knuckle. No matter who you are, what you are, how big you are, you look at your fist. The second knuckle on your fist protrudes out. It's the biggest knuckle on your fist. I don't care who you are. That's your point. The dullness of your body is that boredom, that sudden boredom. And then the sharpness is the ability to react. To have the samurai spirit, you must have a double-edged sword and have your point ready to execute at all times. My point is, there's no more samurai spirit, especially in karate tournaments. I don't see it, except if I see someone from the time that he puts his gi on to the time he takes it off and he doesn't change his attitude. I can tell him. I can see him. And out of hundreds, thousands of competitors that are in tournaments today, there's very, very few people with the samurai spirit. Wolverine, you've heard me ramble. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, one of the main reasons why you don't see samurai spirit anymore all boils down to just one word with three little letters in it: ego. You know, a samurai spirit, a samurai's student or his retainer was all about loyalty to his samurai, to the master. But today, in today's society, people are mainly just loyal to themselves. They want it to be all about them. They want everything quick. They want everything to be about them. You know, some people, like we've talked about, are just trophy hunters. People want to go to competition. They don't want to give credit to their teacher, or they want to try to leapfrog their teacher or create something different because they think they're better than their teacher. None of that has anything to do with samurai spirit. You know,
well, let me share something with you. Everybody, and it's okay. I'm not downgrading tournaments. I love tournaments. I've lived in tournaments for 45 years. But I had a different attitude when I competed. It wasn't about the trophy. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about winning first place or winning the grand. It wasn't even about placing. And I know people that know me personally know that I'm telling the truth. It was about the attitude you had to represent your karate do in a public forum. Wow. I'll say it again. It's your attitude that you had when you executed your karate do in a public forum. Now, a public forum is a tournament. Even though it's surrounded by black belts and karate competitors, instructors, it's still a karate tournament. It's an open forum. And that means that you're still representing karate do. When I say samurai spirit, that doesn't mean you have to be a sword man or you have to, you know, wear a hakama or dress up like a samurai. You must have the spirit, though, to represent karate do in a public forum. How do you feel about that attitude and not so much what we, you know, what you're, you know, about the attitude of being representing karate do in a public area. That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's another thing I'm talking about. You know, like when you go to competition, bow into the ring before you enter it. Bow into the judges. Your intro, your announcement of where your martial arts come from, what it is for, what it is representing. As you exit the ring, bowing back to the
well,
ring.
The first thing I would say to that, Dean, you know, I'm not going to contradict, but the first thing I say is too much. I'm not talking about your presentation and what you do is perfect.
Well, no,
I mean,
I'm not talking about
do.
Presentation. I'm just talking about the attitude you bring
okay.
to the competition, how you
yes,
look
yes.
at competition, your respect for
right.
the competitors and the competition in general. All
yes.
that's part
Good
of
point.
It. So, yeah, I
yes.
was just naming off that, not the presentation, but that's part of what you would do, you know, not just going for one thing or the other, but going to represent and uphold the honor of your instructor and the school that you came from, and that being your main focus.
Dean, let me ask you a question. Dean, let me ask you a question. When people look at you, I say at the Battle of Atlanta, the U.S. Open, or the Diamond Nationals, which I'm going to talk about that in a minute, what we're going to be doing here in the October.
Sure.
But they look at you, they see play karate, or they see samurai spirit within.
Well, I would hope they see samurai spirit because, you know,
you
I always pride? Do what I say. I say what I mean, you know, and I mean what I say, and I do what I say. I always try to represent and uphold and show respect to my instructors first and foremost, and always give them the credit, and I always compete to make them proud, which is you and Professor and
even if they
Grandmaster
didn't see
Lewis.
You compete, Wolverine. Even if they didn't see you compete,
yes.
even if you didn't compete that day, when people look at you, do you feel they see a samurai spirit, or do you see a man?
I certainly hope so, because I live and, like you know, I live and breathe karate do. That's what I do, you know, so that's who I am. If there was one word to describe me, I think most people would use that word to describe me. You know, I am a martial artist first and foremost, so I would hope so, yes.
So let me ask you a question.
That's
you,
not
when
my,
you go into
that's
a competition,
not my
place. Wolverine, when you go into a competition and say there's 20 people in your division, you mentally, even though you may not know that person, you kind of size that person up to see how he steps in the ring. For instance, the other tournament, I forgot what it was. It might have been the battle. Remember, and I'm going to say this because everybody knows I love you, that you're my student. But I remember that a gentleman walked by, you were in a lift position, and he walked right by you, and he didn't recognize you. And you stood there. You were showing respect because that's what you do. Now, I remember going up to him, and I was very respectful, but I asked him, why did you just walk by Mr. Piles and not recognize him? And he goes, oh, I didn't realize that. That's my point. That's my exact point. It doesn't matter what Don rank you are, who you are. If you're a black belt and that person's in a rich position to show respect to you, you don't want to just walk by that person, no matter if you're accomplished or not. And that's the problem. Everybody takes things for granted today. They take it for granted. They've forgotten the respect, and they've forgotten that samurai spirit. So I appreciate you
right.
taking time and talking to me about this. And,
you
know, we're going to be doing something in October. I think it's 5th or 6th. Excuse me. Right after you compete at the Diamond Nationals, something's in the background. What is all that noise?
I have
know?
No idea.
Someone's doing something. Okay. Anyway, someone's moving or something. Anyway, right after the Diamond Nationals, you're going to get on a plane, and you're flying to Sacramento, and you and I are going to be doing a special demonstration for a very special man, Mr. Jim Anderson, for his 70th birthday party. That's pretty cool. I appreciate you taking time and doing that just to come out and perform, because
yeah.
he saw you last year, and he thought that you were a hoot, man. He thought you were pretty darn good. That's you're gonna be
I'm
you're gonna
glad,
be a rush show. The show's gonna be at 5:00. You're gonna compete early in the morning, get on a plane, and be in Sacramento. Don't forget about the time change, though. Okay.
hey, That's what Semper Fi means. It's do or die. You don't stop. You don't make excuses. You get it done. And that's also
yes,
part of having a Semper Fi spirit. Is
yes,
you
sir.
Know, you make it happen one way or the other.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Wolverine.
You can't always
tonight.
Be rested up.
I hear you. Well, you know, I really enjoy this segment, and next week we'll be doing another subject. And, you know, the Samurai Spirit is really close to my home. Thank you for being patient and waiting, and I'll see you next week, little brother, okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, God bless you. I've been talking with the Wolverine. We know him better as Dean Files. He has a kind of a weekly video blog that he does on Facebook. And he talks about different subjects that we kind of highlight him here on the radio show. I'm very proud of him. He's just one of those new age competitors that has old ways in his heart. But he's number one in NASCAR right now in his division, and he's been number one for the past 2 years. So I'm very, 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 very proud of Dean Piles. Well, I'm coming back to my special guest tonight. This is Johnny Hunter. You put up with me hollering at Mark Shuey and Wolverine. Are you still there, sir?
I'm still there.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh, Dean, you're still there. Okay, cool. Well,
Wolverine, are you still there? But I'm here, but I'm just listening. So.
I'm still here, too,
Wolverine,
Professor.
As long as you're there, that's all I care. You're the best co-pilot I can have besides the Lord. So I appreciate it, okay? Thank you, man.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Johnny Hunter, you ready to play the Legends name game?
Yes, I'm on here. Let's
okay,
go for
now
it.
I didn't rehearse this with you. Normally I rehearse it, and I kind of give you the name when I shoot at you. But I'm just going to throw names at you. And if you don't know them, that's cool. Just maybe talk about, maybe you heard about them or whatever. That'd be fine. But if you do know them, tell me what you feel about them and how they've influenced you or helped you in your career. Okay?
Okay.
Super. Here we go. The first one. Ready? Severo Guerrero from the Universal Hall of Fame.
I've been known for Professor Guerrero for over 30 years. Very good friend. I support his tournaments in Pearly and Alvin. I supported his Hall of Fame way back in 1990s. I was inducted into two of his Hall of Fame, actually. Performed seminars. He's a very good old school marshal like myself. We never came pretty much for tournaments. We're pretty much traditionalists. But he's a good friend, and I love the man. He's a great, great guy.
Have you met his son, Adam? He's a beast. You know Adam?
I knew Adam since he was a little boy. I seen Adam when he was knee high, doing martial arts when he used to go to his tournament. Yeah, I know Adam. I watched his career, and he's I'm very proud of him. I mean, he came a long way. He took his mixed his Florida traditional oil with MMA, and they've been very successful in the endeavors. So yeah, I'm very proud of Adam and Master Guerrero.
Yeah, good kid. Well, he's not a kid anymore. I bet he's 30, 35 years old now. He might be older. I don't know.
Yeah,
he was a good kid.
He's married. Yes, good. He's a big, full man now, married, and run his own gym.
Yeah.
He's doing real good. He's made his dad very
proud. He's got
proud.
A great gym in Alvin. He's got a great gym. Well, good. I'm glad you talked about Severia. Now, there's another person that I want to ask you about. We talked to him a little earlier, but I want to emphasize him again because, he was an important part of my journey, too, when I first came to Houston, and there's Percy Mungu.
Well, Matt Perlgu was my mentor. He was my father. He was my friend. He was everything. He's the guy that made me who I am today. 90% of my attendees come from Master Perlgu. You know, Shotokan is my foundation, but Master Perlgu taught me Kenpo, Jiu-Jitsu, Karate, Taekwondo. He took a variety of techniques and the skills that he taught me. He helped me survive on the streets of Fifth Ward. Also, he taught me about being a man and respect and integrity that you can never replace. You can never buy and pay for that, you know. So, yeah, I have great love for Master Mungu. Much respect to him. May he rest in peace.
Well, tell me about your feelings about one of the greatest martial artists ever lived, Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee?
Bruce
Lee was my hero. I mean, I had him so many pictures on my wall of Bruce, you couldn't even see the wall. He was my inspiration. He stood for so many things for us, especially as a young kid. You know, when we grew up, when I grew up, we didn't know what Kung Fu, karate, none of that stuff was. To see a little guy, that little, whoop all these guys, I mean, hey, you know, it was very inspirational. But and I love the philosophy, Bruce. You know, he was a rebel before his time. He went against the grain, but outside his tradition. He was an innovator. Yeah, I love him, too. He's my idol still to this day. I love Bruce.
Did you were you friends or did you know Howard Jackson?
No, I never met Howard Jackson, but he was a great tournament competitor back in the days. I followed him his career through, you know, because we didn't have YouTube back then. We had Black Belt Magazine, and everybody had Black Belt Magazine. And I
mentioned
career.
Howard because he was the first Afro-American that was rated number one as a fighter. And
Right.
Yeah, so I just wonder if you knew him. Did you know Thomas LaPuppet?
Yeah, Thomas LaPuppet was a Shotokan stylist
Yes, he was.
From the New York area. He was highly respected.
Yes. But you know what makes him special, too? You know what makes Mr. LaPuppet very special? Mr. LaPuppet the first Afro-American, to be put into the Black Belt Hall of Fame.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that was impressive. Yeah.
I bring this up because when I first came to America, Johnny, you know, I didn't know what the word prejudice was, and I literally was taken in by a lot of Afro-American families. I was very blessed, and I got to follow a lot of the Americans that became great karate competitors. I was very close to Everett Monster Man Eddy. Did you know him and Johnny Lee and those guys from Detroit? You ever heard of those guys?
Right. I heard of them, yes. Great martial artists as well.
Now, were you around those guys back then? You weren't around karate back then, were you? You were in Houston. So, you're in North Dakota.
I live in
South Dakota.
North Dakota. North Dakota.
Now, is that as bad as they say it is?
Yeah, I'm 1 hour from Canada. And, you know, I live in a little city called Minot, and it's a nice city, and it's a beautiful country.
How many
nice people up here?
I
only have one dojo here and one dojo in Houston. How many karate schools in North Dakota?
How many karate schools are there in your city? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, in my city, you have one, two, three, about three dojos.
So how big is the city?
The city's not very big. It's about the size of Abilene. it's not
what?
A city like Houston, Abilene, you know, Abilene.
Oh, Abilene.
Pearland.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So you got three schools there now. Any of them teach traditional like you?
No, you got Taekwondo. You have a mixture of boxing and Kung Fu. You have another Kung Fu school. That's it, and I'm traditional. So Taekwondo and two pretty much Kung Fu. Well, one guy is mixed with Kung Fu and Kempo. They from California, so. But that's
well,
it.
Everybody from California is kind of crazy anyway, you know. I say that in love.
I say
it in love, because I was in California, so I'm a little crazy too. Okay, well, cool. Let me ask you another question. You became an ambassador a few years back. What's it like knowing that you're part of the Sport Karate Museum and that you'll be part of the history that I've created 20 years working with this? How do you feel about that?
I feel great. I remember when you were telling me about it back in 2012 when me and my wife came to that. You were telling me about the sport, what your vision was, and I supported it. And I thought it was a great idea, and I still think it's a great idea. And I'm honored to be part of it. You know, I have a lot of friends in the martial arts, and I always was the person that believed and supported my friends, especially I've known for many, many years. And I think it's a great thing that what you're doing for the sport, you know, to remember, because, you know, so many martial arts masters are dying, and if we don't, nobody take time and remember these guys, they'd be gone forever, you know. And what you're doing is something that it needs to be done. It needs to be done. And I'm glad that you took time. I have a vision to do that, you know, because We just lost, well, how many matches we lost in the last couple of years? I mean, it's just, it's leaving here like the, I mean, it's leaving here.
It's terrible.
Fast. Yeah, it's terrible.
It's terrible.
So,
it's a fact that the guys that were born in the 40s that brought it here to America from the Korean War and Vietnam, life is taking them. I mean, it's not about or an accident or, you know, whatever. It's just life because, you know, people cannot live forever. So what are we going to do when those people that created it here in America and that generation is gone? It's up to us, Johnny, to carry that on, and then it'll be up to the next generation that was, you know, came after us to carry it on. And I hope I've instilled that in a lot of people, and I have. I feel I have. I get phone calls and emails daily, and, you know, Mr. Corley and Mr. Bowen and Mr. Smith will leave you mouths to start this radio show and to try to educate people. But, you know, Johnny, I need people like you. I need people that are really traditional martial artists that were part of sport karate. Maybe they didn't give their life to it as much as, say, I did, but still were part of it. But they believe in the history of what we accomplished and to honor those pioneers and legends that we're losing, as you said. And you mean a lot to me, Johnny Hunter, because you're the real deal. You don't play karate. You grew up in the Fifth War, as you said. You had to really use it. And you had a great mentor, Percy Mungu. You know, he was a character, but he was a good martial artist. And I really make you proud to hear you say this after all these years, that he was a mentor to you and he taught you how to be a man and he taught you about life. So that right now, Percy's looking down at us. He's laughing at me because he always laughed at me. But he's looking at you and he's going, I did good with Johnny Hunter. Johnny Hunter turned out to be a good karate guy. So you did good, Johnny Hunter. God bless you, man.
I appreciate it. We must never forget where we come from. You know, that's one of my mottos. I make sure that I give thanks to those that helped me get where I am today and continue to try to do good and pass, you know, keep it playing forward. That's why I opened my school back in the Fifth Ward, to make sure I give back to the community for, you know, the lessons that I learned from my teacher to pass them on to the next generation. And that's, you know, that's what I plan on doing, just make my teacher proud and continue to pass it on.
Johnny, that's important because when it comes down to it, we can wear a black belt, we can say we're a champion, that we fought tournaments or we do whatever, but we're educators. And educators means that it's all about that one student that turns out to be someone strong. And I know that a lot of your students have turned out to be incredible people. And I've got to meet a pleasure. I've had the pleasure to meet quite a few of your students that have competed at Kata Wars. And I can honestly remember many of them. I remember your black belts, how respectful they were and how they all came up to me. And they always knew about me, even though I didn't know who they were. And I'm sure it was because of you sharing with them who I was. So I appreciate that. But the point of it is you pass on that tradition of respect. And, you know, I tell people all the time, we don't learn how to kick and punch. In our first karate class, we learn how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and may I. And you're an example of that, Johnny Hunter. And I appreciate you taking time and being on my show tonight and sharing with me. Now, what can people get in touch with you, want to talk to you, or just share with you if they're listening to the show, how they get in touch with Johnny Hunter?
Well, you can get in touch with me on Facebook, for one. I got a Facebook page. I became Tex Wabi. My main dojo is located in Houston, Fifth Ward, between Long and Waco. You can contact me on my phone number. Is it okay to get phone number online here?
Yes,
okay?
Go ahead. I don't mind if you don't mind. If you might get a crazy phone call from a crazy person, but what the heck? It's live radio, man. You know,
live radio, right?
I'm my best friend tonight. I mean, people are probably listening and saying, why is Gary Lee screaming at Mark Shuey? How dare him? They don't understand. I love Mark Shuey. I've known him for 30 years. I love him. And I definitely love Dean Piles. Daryl Stewart, I guess I love him too. So, you know, I holler at a lot of people I love. I guess I'm going to holler at you too. So, yeah, give me your number. What's your phone number? Go ahead.
713 677 7137-9484. Again, that's 713-677-9484. Also, make sure, I meant to shout out to Master Bobby. Bobby, he told me to make sure I tell you he said hello. So I don't want him to be mad at me. So Bobby told me to tell you, Professor.
Bobby Barrett.
Yeah, he told me, make sure you tell him I said hello. So,
yeah, he's a good guy, man.
Yeah.
One of the best knife guys I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever seen
him? Yeah, I trained with him down in, when I visited him in his dojo down in Iowa. And, I met him also when I was in Atlanta City in a seminar I did down there. So, yeah, we had a good training there. He showed me, his style, the tempo, and his grammar, very, very effective.
You know, he made a personal knife for my son. He made a personal knife, a practice knife for my son that's very, very cool. In fact, you know, it's beautiful. I'm looking at it right now. I don't know why Garrett don't have it. I got it, but it's beautiful. Yeah,
yeah, he gave me one also. You know, he gave me one as a gift. Yeah, he gave me one as a gift, and a very... very nice man. Great honor to meet a lot of great warriors over my years, and a lot of great friends. I have right now Southern Black Belts in Houston, and Ann Tarver is one of the females I may bring to the event. She's been with me 30 years. I thought that's what you were talking about online. She started out with me in high school, and still with me today.
I've got 150 women black belts that are going to come to Houston that. You know, I got a call yesterday from the Hilton. I sold 161 rooms. I'm kind of in trouble. I only blocked 65 rooms, Johnny. So I sold over 100 rooms more than I was blocked. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, but the women have never. Here's what the bottom line is: the women have never been said thank you to overall, and that's what I'm doing with this event. It doesn't matter if you don't come. It doesn't matter if you listen to it on Facebook or you see it later on. We're honoring all the women. And, you know, the roast of Mikey Rowe Moore is based upon that because she was very instrumental in saying that it wasn't about her so much, even though she was a great competitor. And she is still a great competitor. It's just that she wanted to do it for all the women. So that's what I did this year. I worked on hard and being an honored, not just the black belt champions, but the grandmothers, the mothers, the aunts, the adopted mothers, the woman behind the scene, the one that answers the phone, every woman, and that's what we're doing this year. So I hope you can make it, and definitely bring me some Super Fakata Wars. Please, I need some of your Shotokan competitors to compete, and let me know if you need the dinner ticket, because I got a few left, okay?
Okay. Yep. Yep, sounds good. That's not the plan.
Well, I'll see you this weekend at the Universal Hall of Fame. Make sure you step by the booth. And I sure enjoyed this interview tonight, Johnny. And I appreciate it. And you'll be able to listen to it on the podcast. I'll be able to put it on your page. And anybody who missed it tonight, you'll be able to hear it. And so, Johnny, let me ask you one last question. And
yes.
For anybody who's listening, let me ask you a question. If you walked into your dojo, someone walked in off the street and they wouldn't learn karate, what would you say to them?
So somebody walk into my dojo off the street and want to learn martial arts? I have a tendency to interview everybody that comes to the dojo and ask them the reason. First thing, you know, a lot of times my senpai actually would meet them at the door and ask, can we help them? They're interested in learning martial arts. If they're, you know, they're positive, they're serious about the art, then my senpai would bring them to me, and I would sit down and I'll interview the person, ask them why they want to learn martial arts, what's their purpose, you know. And then I found a word, you'll be accepted as a student. I'm not just about money, but I'm trying to help people in general, so make sure they this is something they really want to do. And I don't charge for first lessons. I let the students train to see if there's something they want to do and they like it. And the training is pretty tough, so they come back the next time, we understand. If they don't, we understand. So.
Well, good. Well, Johnny, again, thank you for this time tonight. I appreciate it so much, and I'll see you at the end of the week. Okay, buddy?
I'll see you, Saturday, Friday? Saturday, one of the days.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'll be there. My seminar is at 4 o'clock, so I'll see you Friday, Saturday, okay? Cool.
All my father said. Okay.
All right. Well, God bless you, everybody. Thank you, Johnny, for being on the show tonight. Thank you, Daryl Stewart, for talking about the Universal Hall of Fame. Thank you, Mark Shuey, for letting me holler at you and putting up with me and talking about the cane. And, of always, thank you, Wolverine and Dean Piles and his insight on sport karate. On behalf of the AMMA Masters Radio show and blog and my producer, Mr. Jesse Bowen, as I always say to you every week, mahalo and aloha. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello.